Let's pray. Father, you've heard our voices this morning as we cry out to you. You are holy, and not only us in this sanctuary, but we pray that millions and billions will gather together today to cry out to you. You are holy. You are worthy. We have come today to worship you on this beautiful day. We thank you for that. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in America to do what we're doing. We thank you for the freedoms in America that we enjoy to be able to vote. Many have already. Many will in the next couple of days. We commit that to you and ask again and pray, thy will be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you have walked with us this week. Many have been through surgeries this week. Many have experienced other difficulties, and yet you have not left us. You are worthy of our praise. You are holy. You are mighty. You are God. And we just praise you this morning, Father, as we've come together, and we ask that your Spirit would minister to us, to our ears, to our hearts, to our bodies, whatever it is we need, as we have come to worship you, minister to us, I pray. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with churches in this town and neighboring towns. I pray that your Spirit would be so real and so powerful in each and every gathering, in each and every congregation, that people would come to know you as Lord, that we would surrender, that we would repent, that we would humble ourselves and allow your Spirit to move and glorify our Father in heaven. And so thank you for all that have come here this morning. Thank you for all that will gather in other places. Speak to us as we've come to worship you. And we pray again for those that are not able to get to church or won't take the opportunity. We pray that you would be with them too. Speak to them, minister to them, help them to know you, to trust you, to surrender to you, to live for you, and call you Lord. I pray for the persecuted church this morning, Father. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen, heal. I pray that you would protect. I pray that you would help them to be faithful in the face of the enemy and bring you glory. And so guide us as we have come to worship, I pray. Guide us in our thoughts, guide us in our words. We want to bring you glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just thinking yesterday and this morning in the last week of all the things that have happened. Richard mentioned to you the Fall Festival. It was a wonderful night for us here to be able to bring in children and let our light shine on what would be perceived as a dark night. And so we had a good Fall Festival. And so I just think of all the things, surgeries, at least three in our midst have had surgeries this last week. I think of things like maybe outright miracles. The Cubs won the World Series in this last week. And Pillager football team is headed to the state tournament. And so I think of all the things that have happened in just these last few days. But perhaps last night when we were here for prayer, perhaps none more important that I learned just this last Wednesday at our kids' club, while I was in St. Cloud ministering to a guy who's going to have triple heart bypass surgery, God was at work here in our kids. Three kids come to know Christ as Lord on Wednesday night. And so that was the highlight of the week, even more than the Cubs. Today, if you are aware, it's called the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And oftentimes I don't make much to do about that. I mention it, but today I wanted to, because it's the International Day for the Persecuted Church, Day of Prayer, I wanted to share with us a little bit about what Jesus said, and so if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark 13, about persecution, because he did speak to that. And I want us to know just a little bit today, as believers in America, as believers in Motley here, and Pillager, and Leader, and Lincoln, and Philbrook, and wherever we come from, I want us to recognize that Christian persecution around the world is very real. There are people dying, in some cases very horrible deaths, because they're Christians every day, someplace around the globe. And so, why do I speak about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church today? Because as Christ followers, we are called upon to pray for those in chains. Now, right now, that may be across the pond, but that may not be across the pond someday. Persecution may come to America, but as Christians, we are called upon to pray for those in chains. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, we are to love our enemies, and sometimes that doesn't mean just across the road. And reason number three, as Americans, we need to remember the persecuted for their faith around the globe and recognize that it is real. It is very, very real. People are dying for their faith every day in countries around the globe. And so, I will share with you towards the end, before communion, a couple of short stories about kids that have been persecuted, their families lost around the globe. But first, Mark 13. Let's see what Jesus said. Mark chapter 13, verses 3 through 13. Jesus was with some of his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says this. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, they said, tell us when these things will be. He had just got done talking about the overthrow of the temple, and they're thinking end time stuff. And they said, tell us, Lord, when's this going to happen? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And so I really want to emphasize the last couple of verses here, but I'm kind of building up to that in this conversation that Jesus was having with these disciples about the end times, which the Bible looks at the end times when it calls the latter times. It is the time from when Jesus was here till the time he comes back. Well, you say that's a long time. It is a long time, and I believe we're in the end of the end. But when he speaks to the latter times or the end times, it's from the time he was here before until the time he comes back. And so when Jesus answered them, he began to say, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will actually deceive many. They will lead people away from Christ. They will come as false prophets, counterfeit, fakes. And they will lead people away from Christ. He said, that's going to happen. It happened in the time of John, Peter, and Jesus even. And it's still happening today. And so he says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of the wars and the rumors of wars, don't be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows, and we could talk about each one of those events because they've been happening. But my emphasis is on later verses. Jesus then said, but watch. He's talking to his disciples now, followers of Christ at that time, followers of Christ today. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to the councils. Who's they? Those that oppose Christ. Antichrists. Those who oppose the message of Jesus. Jesus said, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. Excuse me. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them that you were drugged before. And the gospel must be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And now the last two verses. There will come a time, Jesus said, and it began a long time ago. It didn't just start today in America. It started a long time ago. Jesus said, brother will betray brother to death. And a father, his child, and children will raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you, followers of Jesus, you who are passionate for the name of Christ, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That means he's talking about our faith enduring through persecution. He and she who endures to the end will be saved. In America, when we read things like, and a father, his child, betraying them or putting them to death, we wrestle with that and we say, no way! But it's happening all over the globe. When we read a brother will betray a brother to death, we say in America, can't happen. But it is happening. Jesus was not just talking about the very end, even though that is part of what he's saying. He's talking about to his disciples that day and to disciples always, there can and there will come a time when you take a stand for Christ that the world will hate you, and sometimes even your own family will hand you over to the administrators, the magistrates, or the people in charge or whatever, and they will kill you, your own family. Jesus is saying here to his closest disciples, if you're really going to follow me, and you have to decide. Some of you were here 14 months ago in September when we had our Pakistani brother called Masih here. And he asked us very pointedly, are you ready to die for Christ? Because they have to answer that question in other parts of the world every day. And he said that time is coming to America. If we continue to go on the path that we're going, you're going to have to ask yourself, am I willing to die for Christ? We can say so, and he said, he took it a step further. We can say, yep, Jim, yep, Pastor Masih, yep, whomever, I'm willing. But when the rubber hits the road and the gun puts in your face, or the executioner comes and say, are you willing to die for Jesus? We have to ask ourselves, am I really? And that's when the separation will happen. Because there's a whole lot of folks today that said, yep, count me in, but when the rubber hits the road, they'll say, I'm out of here. And that's when he reminded us 14 months ago, and I remind us today, that we will be separated, the sheep and the goats, who is really faithful to Christ, who is really born again, who is really filled with the Holy Spirit, and who is really willing to die for Jesus, because people are dying every day for Christ around the world right now. So Jesus said to his followers that day, you're going to follow me? It's not going to be easy. Some of you will lose your lives. And it's been happening for 2,000 years. All you got to do is look in Acts. You see the first ones. They started losing their lives because they're Christians. And not just in word, because they were Christians in their spirit. They had been born again, and they were not willing to deny Christ. They were ready to die for Jesus instead. There will be times when your faith and your following the Lord Jesus Christ will cost you. And it could cost your family. It has ever since Jesus was here. It's cost families their lives. I could quote to you all kinds of books that I've read, and I'm sure some of you have read them. I could refer to the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I could refer to the newer generation of the Book of Martyrs called Jesus Freaks. There's all kinds of books that talks about people dying for Christ. You could look at Open Doors Ministry. CMA supports them. You could see their webpage, and you can see that you could read Voice of the Martyrs, and you were reminded every day people are dying for Jesus. And so I remind us today, church in America, we're not exempt. We might think, well, it'll never happen in America. But some of you that have been around as long as I have and more, would think what's happening in America now, 40 years ago, would never happen in America. In Hebrews 11, I'm not going to turn there because we're going to spend time in communion in just a minute, but in Hebrews 11, 35 to 40, you see martyrs thrown to the lions, sawed in two. When you read Fox's Book of the Martyrs, you can see Christians being burned at the stake for owning a Bible. When you read people like, I was going to say Pat Doyle, but Pat didn't write the book. Tom Doyle did. The books that Tom Doyle read about the Middle East right now, one of them is Killing Christians and one of them is Dreams and Visions. You see, it's real. In some cases, when a Muslim man or woman comes to faith in Christ, their own family kills them. They call it mercy killings, and they figure they're doing themselves a favor. I've read accounts of North Korean Christians that are thrown into these massive, massive places where thousands of prisoners will work to death. Some of them eating mice and sawdust to live their last days because they're Christians. And I simply ask us today in America to remember, as Paul instructed us to remember, those in chains. Because it's real around the globe. We have been blessed in America. We have been protected. God has been so good to us. But perhaps, because of the lack of persecution, we have grown soft in our faith, in our willingness to die for Christ. And I know some people will think, Jim, you're talking crazy talk. Talk to the Christians in Nigeria that have just seen their family whacked to death by machetes and see if it's not real. Or people around the globe in places where at one time they knew some relative peace, but they don't anymore. From the Voice of the Martyrs. I know that some of you get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Let me share with you a couple of short stories and we'll get ready for communion. For 2 months in 2008, Hindu radicals attacked and killed Christians with abandon in India's Odisha state. During one such attack, radicals threw a bomb into 10-year-old Narata Nayak's home as she hid in the bathroom. She was burned very severely, over 40% of her body. After some time, she was brought to a place of healing, and sometime later, she was talking to a Voice of the Martyrs representative, and she decided to dedicate her life to the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the gospel as a teenager. She's now burned over 40% of her body, and she has decided, but I need to tell others about Jesus. 8-year-old Nan Pak watched his mother lie face down in the dirt as a screaming Islamic rioter ran towards her and her 3 children, Nan Pak, his brother, and his sister. The rioters had just killed the boy's dad and many others in town. The rioter then attacked the boy, his mother, his brother, his sister with a machete, assuming he had done the deed. When the attacker walked away, there was still a survivor. Little Nan Pak, at 8, was still alive. The next day, he got himself to another village, bleeding from the machete and shot. He hiked through the woods and found help. And he said some time later, I really don't need to be afraid. I was the only person that was able to escape that day. I believe that God has a reason for me to live. He then went on to say, I would like people to pray for the persecuted of Nigeria and other places because it's not only Nigeria that is suffering this kind of persecution. When 10-year-old Luis heard the gunshots, he and his brother ran to hide under their bed. They knew that the gunfire meant that the FARC, you've heard of FARC, that's Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, they knew that those rebels were attacking their village one more time. Many of Luis's friends were killed in that attack. That was at 10, And at 13, Luis found complete peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. At 13, he gathered up all the money that he had, which wasn't much, and he bought some things to hand out to the villagers and to tell soldiers and former FARC rebels as he handed them a little gift, Jesus loves you. He also would tell those guerrilla fighters that Jesus still loves them despite the pain that they have caused. Now, a few years later, he's a pastor in those high-risk areas, and he says, I am not afraid to die. It is my passion to tell people about Christ. I have a call from God to preach in these areas. I desire to keep reflecting Jesus. These incidents may seem like a long ways away, but they're really not. They're our brothers and sisters. They're really right around the corner. And today is a day to remember the persecuted church and to pray. Pray for our nation. Because Pastor Massey 14 months ago said we may not be that far away. Pray for those nations who are suffering at the hands of all manner of folks and all manner of mayhem. Today is a day to remember there's persecution going on and people are dying because they're Christians. Anybody heard the name Richard Wurmbrand? I'll close this story, then we'll get on to communion. I've read some books from Richard Wurmbrand. Some of the rest of you have too. In a communist prison for 14 years, Tortured for His Faith was his first book. One day when he finally got sprung from the, I believe it was Romania, remember? Was it Ben? Romanian prison. When he finally got sprung from that Romanian prison, he wasn't going to leave his own people. He was going to keep telling them about Jesus. Long and the short of it, he got to America in 1963, after having been tortured and imprisoned for his faith in a communist country for 14 years. Standing before the representatives of the United States of America, he peeled off his suit coat and his tie and his shirt, and representatives saw his scarred body and they wept, not realizing that maybe it is true. Not all of them, of course, but many representatives looked at the scarred body of Richard Wurmbrand and they wept, he writes in his book. And Richard's only purpose to come to America in the early 1960s was to tell people in the West, don't forget us in chains. Don't forget us. He said, as I sat there in the hole, he was buried 20-some feet into the ground one year. He didn't know if it was night, he didn't know if it was day, he didn't know if it was January, he didn't know if it was September. Because all he saw was blackness 24/7, a form of torture. And he said, yet he knew that somebody, someplace was praying because he could feel the very presence of God. He could feel Jesus in his cell, in the hole that day. And so he simply come to America that day and said, don't forget American church. Don't forget us in chains. Just exactly like the Apostle Paul said in the letter to the Colossians when he said, remember me in my chains. And so I simply bring to us awareness today. Don't forget, folks, persecution is real. Today is the day of prayer for the persecuted church all over the globe. And be ready to stand for Jesus. Because today I'm reading a brand new book for Dr. Jeremiah that I was just given this last week. And if the deer wouldn't have come out so early yesterday, I'd have got a lot more read. But I didn't get very far. But in reading that, I'm reminded of how far we have fallen in America, and how quickly things can change, and how close we could be to our own persecution. And Dr. Jeremiah, I don't think it was his own quote, he used a quote from somebody else, and said, we who will follow Christ are pretty much the only ones left that don't have a voice and a say, because we are now being oppressed and suppressed. We don't want to hear your comments, Christian, no more. We are dangerously close to being asked, will you stand up for Christ or will you deny Him? Right here in America. Like the young lady that did at Columbine, and now there's a movie come out about that. You may have to decide, am I really going to follow Jesus? And so as we prepare for communion, I want us to ask ourselves today, have I really decided to follow Jesus? Or am I a Christian in name only? Or am I a Christian because my parents were? Or am I a Christian because I went to church a couple times? Or am I a Christian because I've been in America for a while? It's a heart condition. Have I been born again? And have I been really filled with the Holy Ghost? And if I have, it won't matter when somebody has the axe to behead over you like they have in countries all over the Middle East right now, because you will say, I am not going to deny my Jesus. You have to decide, am I a Christian beyond name only? Am I a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what? We may have to answer that question, especially if you're younger than I am. We may have to answer that question in America. People are having to answer that question all over the globe. And they are saying by the thousands, I will not deny Jesus. He suffered for me. I will die for Him if necessary. And so two reasons today. Awareness, pray for the persecuted church. And reason number two, are you ready to stand for Jesus no matter what? Father God, thank you again for this opportunity to have communion together. Ever since Jesus gave His life for us on the cross, people have been dying. Jesus said it would happen. Brother against brother. Parents against kids. Kids against parents. Delivered up for their faith. But what we want to remember today, Lord, is that persecuted church, but we want to recognize Jesus, the one whose blood cleanses us from all sin and stain, the one who saves, the one who gave His life for us that we might live. If we'll trust Him, if we'll surrender to Him, give our lives to Him. Today, as we gather around the communion elements again, Father, we say thank you for your great love for us in sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood on Calvary's tree. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us, for me, for us, for human beings all over the globe, for all time. We gather around these elements today to say thank you and remember. And so, Father, we've examined ourselves this morning. We've trusted Christ as Lord. And we gather around this communion to say thank you and remember this morning of the bread and the cup. And so help us, Lord, to never forget the death that Jesus gave. Never forget there's dying Christians all over the globe. Help us to, as we sang, always trust in you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.